Hello, I'm Sam Clement, and welcome to this mini edition of the Picture House podcast. Today, I'm going to pass over to my esteemed colleague, Sarah Cook, who recently spoke to film director Mark Forster. Mark was in town to attend a UK premiere of his new movie, Christopher Robin, Disney's live-action adaptation of the Winnie the Pooh story, following a grown-up Christopher Robin who has left the Hundred Acre Wood and his toys behind to grow up, get a job in London, and have a family. He's got a wife in this. He's got a daughter in this. Christopher Robin is a bit stressed out at work, and he's going for a bad time, and it's up to the toys from his childhood to save him. And there's something kind of spooky and kind of brilliant about seeing Winnie the Pooh and Piglet and Eeyore in London, in a very grey-looking London town, walking around on buses, in taxis, that kind of stuff. There's also a lot of beautiful stuff set in the Hundred Acre Wood, which was probably some of my favourite work in this film. I thought the animation was beautiful as well. It looked really great on a big screen. And it's funny, the audience I was with were cracking up pretty much every time one of the toys speak. It landed with me and it really worked, and I had a real blast. So the film's in cinemas now, and that's enough from me. I'll pass over to Sarah and Mark to talk more about making it. Enjoy!
Thank you for joining us at the Picture House podcast. How was the premiere last night?
It was lovely. It was really wonderful to premiere here in London, because it's all ultimately, you know, Pooh comes from England, so it's at the place of birth, so to speak.
Yeah, and you have a lot of Weird the Pooh fans out there who just excited to see this film.
Yes, very much so. I mean, it's there's also a certain amount of pressure, because I love Pooh myself, and you want to make sure you did right to the fans and to hopefully embrace the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it definitely has. I grew up in the 90s, so we had the Many Adventures of Weird the Pooh, and my mum's obsessed with Weird the Pooh, so you have done the character justice. It's a very lovely and wonderful film. How did you come about the project?
You know, I was in a plane and my daughter was watching a Pooh cartoon on an iPad. And basically, she looked over and said to me, "Can't you do a movie for kids?" And for mama. And then I said, "Sure, why don't we do Pooh?" And she looked at me and said, "Yes, why don't we do Pooh?" I said, "But if you make two," I said, "it's so important that it's not just a movie for you, it's a movie for myself and for my mom, sort of for every generation, because we all love Pooh."
Yeah.
And it's not just purely a kids' movie. You know, I returned to LA and tried to figure out what happened to the Pooh IP and where's Disney at, and so I started that journey.
Did you grow up with Winnie the Pooh and Christopher Robin, all these characters? Was that for you special to go and revisit his tale?
It was very special to revisit that tale. My first memory of Pooh were actually the Shepherd drawings.
Yeah.
And I thought that they were so beautiful, and emotionally, I just loved that simplicity, and they had just like, they made me always feel so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that must have added some pressure to you to get this story right, and to bring Christopher Robin back. How difficult was it to tell the right story, to tell the right Winnie the Pooh story?
You know, I think Pooh's red sweater for me was always a metaphor for the heart.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to make a movie about the heart and about, you know, love. And at the same time, it's about, you know, Chris Robin growing up, rediscovering his inner child. And it's like the combination of both, which was just always truly inspirational for me.
So it's interesting you say that, because it's a children's family film, but it's more geared to adults and adults losing their childhood and reminding adults not to focus on work too much. Is that the kind of message, the point that you want to start out with?
You know, the message is that, you know, what's most important is spending the time with people you love. And at the same time, it's a movie that evokes a lot of joy, and at the end, love. And I think it's one of those things which I try to measure, okay, what would my daughter respond to? What would I respond to? And sort of have this balance between a kid's movie and an adult movie.
The other tricky thing for you must have been developing the look of these, because they're stuffed animals, but they're real stuffed animals in real life. And he's had a lot of incarnations. What was your objective in the look and making him new and original, but still keeping him the same old, silly old stuffed bear?
The first key thing for me is I felt like I wanted to make sure the bear feels like a well-loved bear, a well-hugged bear, that literally you feel like Chris Robin hugged that bear, played with the bear, so they have a certain vintage look, a used look. They're not the sort of brand new toys off a shelf. And that was very important to me. I also looked at the old Shepherd drawings, and then the sort of first animation drawings, sort of pencil drawings from Disney did, and it's like in the 1950s. And then I sort of did a combination of the two, that you feel like, oh, there's a familiarity to them, but they still feel vintage, and like you feel they were from the 1920s, and now the movie takes place in the late 1940s, but you feel that still has that vintage quality.
And what was the choice in making him a real bear that other people can hear talk and speak and move, rather than just a kind of imaginary place of Christopher Robin?
I wanted it, always had that wish to have my real poo, and that real poo could come out when I need a hug or I need someone to be there. So, and I think everybody, every child has sort of their little stuffed animals they like, or their one animal they like. And I think us grown-ups, you know, I think in our educational system, somehow we're being taught that we have to become more serious, we become more responsible as adults, and we can't have any toys anymore or a stuffed bear like Pooh. And I felt like the more real they are, the more you can emotionally engage with them, and the more the audience sort of connects with them. And I think the what I was trying to go for is that you really, at the point of a movie, you feel like they're so real that you sort of feel like that they're actually, there's this real bear there. And it's like, you know, we shot a lot of handheld and close-up shots, so you really get close to the animals. So that's what's the idea.
It does make me want to go out and revisit my old Pooh teddy bear and give him lots of love again and lots of hugs. When I first saw the trailer and you hear him speak and you see him, it just brings back so many memories. How did it feel for you seeing the final product of Pooh Bear?
One of the reasons these memories come back is also of the voice of Jim Cummings. You know, he's been doing the voice since the late 80s, and I wanted to cast Jim Cummings and do the voice of Pooh because I feel it's like a warm blanket that's over you. And that's what my feeling was when I first come and brought him in the into the booth and Jim started talking. I felt like I suddenly got so emotional and nostalgic. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people. And so I'm very happy with the final result. It's the movie I wanted to make. And it has the tone and feel of what I always imagined.
He voices Pooh and Tigger. So how difficult was it finding the other characters and making sure they sound like the old characters? Because it's the Peter Capaldi, Toby Jones playing like Owl and Rabbit.
Peter and Toby, I worked with both of them, and I think they're both just incredible actors. So I was just very exciting that they would lend their voices to Rabbit and Owl. We had a couple of the other actors as well, like Brad Garrett, who plays Eeyore, who's a like fantastic
he's a great
actor as well.
I have to say that Eeyore is definitely the MVP of this movie, even though he's technically the sad one, he's actually the funniest.
Yes, he definitely steals a lot of the jokes.
Steals a lot of the jokes. And talking about actors, what made Ewan McGregor so right for Christopher Robin?
Ewan and I worked on a movie before called Stay, and like 2004, a long time ago, and we've been friends ever since. So I always wanted to bring another project to him. And when I read this, I felt this is Ewan all over, because it needed a dramatic but also comedic actor. And he's so skilled in both. And then also, he's a very manly actor, but at the same time, he has this sort of boyish features as well. So Ewan has this incredible charm and empathy that you want him to find his inner child again. You want him to reconnect.
And how did he find interacting with the characters? Because obviously they're not there as the characters when he's performing.
We had the real stuffed bear there, and I casted a couple of young actors out of drama schools to be there to act opposite him for the boys. Yeah. And then we did a sort of a rehearsal pass with the real bear. I blocked it, I showed him where I want everything to be, and then we removed it. And then at the end, he was just acting to thin air. and that's very hard to do, because he really makes you feel that there's a bear there. And anybody who has done any acting knows how important it is to have your co-star actually there to look into their eyes and get an emotional response from whatever you're expressing from them. But in that moment, he was just literally acting to thin air, which was very, very impressive.
I still refuse to believe that Winnie the Pooh wasn't actually there on set. They're so lifelike and so believable. I read somewhere that you were inspired by Lowry, the artist Lowry, to get London and its aesthetic. How did you get that really lovely and lush colour palette with just London and Sussex and the Hundred Acre Wood?
Lowry was very smart. He only used basically 5 colours in his paintings. And it's when you're in London in the late 1940s, post-World War II, you get that feel of you know, it's foggy, and at that time a lot of coal was used, so it's a little bit more grayish, and there's almost no green except of the park where Chris Rock meets Pooh. Next time around, it's basically when you leave the city, you get into a more lush countryside. So the color palette is sort of an involvement that he's almost in the city. He's almost a prisoner of the city, as you know, there are certain metaphors when he leaves, when little Chris Robin leaves the 100 Acre Woods, you know, he goes to boarding school, he puts on a uniform, he goes to war, he puts another uniform, he goes to work, he puts another uniform. And it's the first time we really understand he's starting to shed that uniform, almost like he's in a straitjacket, is when he re-enters 100 Acre Woods and he's stuck in the tree. And Pooh says to him, "Are you stuck?" And then Chris Rom says, "Yes, I'm stuck." And Pooh says then, "Have you eaten too much honey?" And it's sort of like him starting to shed his uniform and finding himself again.
Because his hair gets more tousled when he's fighting the Heffalump and Woozle.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think there's a really good bleakness that you have in the film with his adult life. But if you go to this forest and it's the magic of the greenery and the different like areas of the 100 Acre Wood.
We shot at Ashton Forest. It's really like right like next to Milne Estate where the real story took place. And it's like I was trying to capture all that magic and that lushness from that part.
It's such a simple gestures that you do, like the balloon. It's so simple, but it's so magical. I mean, and that's important. Balloon's an important part of Pooh history. Is it important to get these little bits right for this story?
Yes, very much so. And I love that scene when at the train station when he loses Pooh, but he spots him because of the balloon. And then once the balloon gets stuck in the train, yeah. Like Christopher Robin couldn't care less. But yeah. I bet Pooh is very, very sad that he lost his balloon.
Yeah, I think it's my favorite sequence. And obviously the balloon plays another character, I suppose, because his daughter finds the balloon later on. And it's just that reminder of childhood, how something as simple and bright and wonderful as a balloon can be. Become this massive gateway to childhood.
And also that I like this little line when finally Piglet doesn't want to go into London. Yeah. And Pooh says, no, we need you. Yeah. And then he said, and London, I can tell you something, there has so many balloons.
Yeah. I feel like the classic Winnie the Pooh characters, they represent different parts of you. So you've got the overactive Tigger, you've got the kind of sad, morose, but funny Eeyore, and then the anxious Piglet. What character would you say you're more like?
I'm more like a Pooh, yeah. But I would say I definitely have a little bit of Eeyore and Piglet as well. You know, they come in sometimes like the more the pessimist or the worrisome.
Yeah. I think I'm more of an anxious Tigger. So no. Hyperactive but afraid all the time. Piglet and Tigger, that perfect combination.
That's fantastic.
It's such a good classic film. What do you think is the staying power of Pooh Bear? Why has he lasted for so long?
You know, I believe it's a combination. I think part of it's, you know, for me, his red sweater is sort of like the metaphor of that we all want that love to hug us and be there for us. At the same time, you know, he did these fantastic Poohisms Milne created and wrote, and I think these Poohisms make the bear so adult, being loved by adults as well. So I say it's a combination of kids loving the bear and also adults, and it's, we all want that bear to be in our house, that whenever we need him, that he could come out. And I think it's partly sad because I think as we are growing up, like we are being told we have more responsibilities and we have to take life more serious, that we almost try to shut that bear out or that we can't play anymore. And I think playing is so important.
Absolutely. I think that's an important takeaway from this film, is to remember to play, to have fun, use your imagination. And it's good to be silly every now and then.
I think it's just to do with yourself, to allow yourself to play.
Talking about playing, more like playing with the film, I read that the gladiator-esque sequence was done on purpose, that you wanted a little homage, Pooh Bear homage with the wheat. Is that true?
I just thought, you know, I thought it was very funny. Because I thought, do you have Russell Crowe and the gladiator touching the wheat? And Ridley Scott uses it in the movie quite a bit, and I thought it's funny, like Pooh Bear going on his fight. And I just had the image in mind, and said, we just have to recreate that.
Pooh Bear's own gladiator moment.
Exactly.
Was there any other playful bits that you liked doing with this character that you thought, oh, I'll have a little fun here?
You know, a lot of the lines sometimes, what the great thing is about animation, you go into post-production and you try things and you animate and you bring the voice actor in, like Jim Cummings, and he does the voice and then bring him in again. So it's a constant workshopping the character. And and he the character evolves also, you know, with the animation. And you, but the tricky thing is with Pooh's animation, you don't want to over animate him. Yeah. You know, it's not like Paddington or Ted or any of these Paddington's a real bear. It's like they're very active. Pooh is very sort of more passive. So you want to still be engaged, but at the same time, you don't want him to be too animated.
I just can't believe how incredible you've done this character. And the story is so good. But in the past, you've done a lot of films that you've done Find Neverland and Stranger Than Fiction, and they're quite book films. But they also are about finding childhood again and refinding childhood through, whether it's your kids, the toys, or your life, or your unexpected life in Stranger Than Fiction. How important is it, these messages?
My parents had a TV at home, so I grew up with that I had to entertain myself versus being entertained. So I always had to go play out in the woods. We had this forest behind our own little 100-acre woods behind our house. But I went out there and I just always had these imaginary friends, and I always escaped from reality. And I think that's why I became a filmmaker and storyteller, because I like to escape reality and I like to explain these fantasy worlds. But they all always, I felt in my childhood, had a lesson to my own life, and sort of made me reflect who I am, or made me grow as a person.
Yes. Do you want to do a shout out to your imaginary friends from your past?
Yeah, you know, there was one tragic moment. I had this one sort of, it wasn't like Tigger, but like a stuffed animal, a toy animal, and it was a tiger, not a tigger. and that tiger, one day I came home and we had a dog, and he just ripped that animal, ripped him apart.
No.
So all my stuffing was all over my room. And as a kid, I was like horrified. I was in shock when I saw it.
Oh no, that's so traumatic.
It's very traumatic, yes. I wish that to no other good.
Yeah.
And my dog didn't know what, he just chewed it up. Shout out to him.
You've done a lot of films based on books. What is so intrinsic about books and film, and why do they go, I think they go kind of hand in hand with one another.
Sometimes, you know, you have this, like in a case like The Kite Runner, when I made that book into a movie, you know, you had this incredible pressure because the book, I met people who read the book and said, oh, don't make sure you don't mess up the movie. And I think every time you take a book that's been successful, beloved, or you take a character like Winnie the Pooh, which is in people's heart, you want to make sure you honor their love to either the like someone like Pooh or the book, or you want to make sure that it's not embarrassing for yourself. So I put so much work into it to really try to do my best and try to tell a story I believe in the most sensible and most visually and poetic way as possible.
Which I think you've definitely succeeded
with
this film. It looks gorgeous. It's got a lot of heart to it. Would you revisit Winnie the Pooh and the 100-acre wood? Would you come back to this story?
I definitely would, yes. I mean, I love the bear so much, so who knows what will happen in the future, but he's definitely, all these, the animals are great to work with, very low maintenance. None of them ask for trailers. and also, there are no big discussions on the sets. You'd ask them to, if they want to go from A to B, and they just go for it.
No, like, massive honey bills in this movie.
There were some bigger honey bills. That's relative inexpensive.
Yeah.
if you're thinking about other things.
Yeah, was there lots of honey on set? Was that like important for the cast and crew to...
Constant
honey. Sticky set.
Sticky set, yeah. Exactly. It's very sticky business.
Yeah, very sticky business. That's a great tagline if you need to use that in the future. Well, thank you very much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure. I have to say personally, Stranger Than Fiction is one of my favorite movies of all time. So,
oh, thank you. That's very kind.
Speaks to my soul. It is very good. And this one, Christopher Robin is such a wonderful film, and it really brings back to life what we loved about Winnie the Pooh. So congratulations on such a great film, and
thank
good
you so
luck
much.
With the release.
Thank you.